Well, again, Labas, and good afternoon. This is Kestutis Reividas, and you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. And, of course, there's live streaming audio. That's live streaming audio worldwide at ktym.com.
Соколели коротус краёй, гал тевешкелами женя сенещой, кас тиною касти гридеть, ой, миле мой шаляй, кас гидиною касти гридеть, ой, миле мой шаляй. Партизаня ворогу суняли, там где то клаусе, то кью женялю, громче веки того судиба, люди веса шаляли, громче веки того судиба.
A very famous and well-known Partizanu song, or Forest Brothers song excerpt, was how we opened the show today. We're going to get on to more mundane things, things that we consider routine. And one of the routine things we do is bring you the weather from Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. And tonight it is 30 degrees in downtown Vilnius. Tomorrow it's going to get up to 33 and drop to 29. And Monday, Tuesday, little warming trend up to 37. Wednesday, back down to the 32, 33 level. Friday, a spike up to 40. And then dropping again to 34, 32, 33 by next Monday. The evenings are not quite freezing, which is kind of dangerous. You know, it makes that black ice on the road. You know, it hits like 31, 32 degrees, 29. That's the lowest temperature in the weekly forecast, 29 degrees. And surprisingly, very little precipitation. As a matter of fact, I talked to a friend of mine in Panevėžys, which is almost in the middle of Lithuania, and he said, believe it or not, it's been very, very dry, very little snowfall, at least in Panevėžys. Now, I talked about mundane and routine. You know, when someone loses a loved one, it's never mundane and routine. However, we all are born and we all pass, and we've lost a couple of our community members in the last week. And one of them was Paulius Kontrimas. Now, Paulius Kontrimas was very, very active with Ateitininkai. Ateitininkai is a Lithuanian-American Christian group. Well, actually, of course, it was started in Lithuania during the free period between World War One and Two. But anyway, he was a leader and an activist in Ateitininkai. And Paulius Kontrimas will be missed by not only them, but by everyone in the community, because he was a very loving man. Archbishop Gintaras Grušas, who is serving in Lithuania, who grew up right here in Los Angeles, who is a lifelong friend of Paulius's. They grew up together here in L.A., has been asked to have a special mass set for Paulius Kontrimas, and that will be the 14th at 11 o'clock. We've also lost another very esteemed gentleman by the name of Arvidas Kliore. He passed away of an apparent heart attack on December 7th or 8th. We're not really sure right now. But he recently celebrated his 80th birthday. Everyone, of course, is saddened by this sort of news. But again, it's in the end, it's routine. We all are born, and we all die. And you know, Arvydas Klode was you know, if you don't know, he was a senior research scientist at the California Institute of Technology at JPL Labs in Pasadena. He was born in 1935 in Lithuania and immigrated into the United States in 1949. He became a naturalized U.S. citizen in 1954. Since completing his education in the Big Ten, MSc, University of Michigan, 1957, PhD, Michigan State University, 1962, he has lived in Pasadena. He has been a senior research scientist at JPL since 1989. Since 1965, Arvydas Klode has been responsible for conducting spacecraft radio occultation experiments, which have provided the direct measurements of the structures of the ionospheres and atmospheres of Mars in 1965, 67, and 71, Venus in 67 and 81, Jupiter in 73, Saturn in 79, with a Titan and Europa, and you know, much other work, too much really to mention in such a short radio show such as ours. He has held the position of principal investigator on 9 NASA radio science teams and is currently was the leader of the Cassini radio science team. Klode and his wife Birutė Anna Ulėnas have a daughter, Rima Klode Fredriksson. He had another daughter, Saula Klode, who unfortunately passed away pretty recently. Anyway, Arvydas Klode, I had the pleasure of watching him being interviewed for Lithuanian television. He's being drawn into a list, into a documentary that's going to be called The 1,000 Most Famous Lithuanians in the World. And we'll be right back. Aš keliavau, iškodamas savo vietą, bandydamas pasivyti savo šešėlį. Aš jau kaip kupranugaris, aš kritau kaip lietuvis, trečia akis švietė kaip varis ir priejau miesto vartus. Bet ten tik moterys, ojojo, sūria vandenyčių liūlių. Šaltos moterys, ojojo, sūria vandenyčių liūlių. Ten tik moterys, ojojo. Well, it's hard to believe that it's already December 13th, middle of December, and that Christmas is, 11, 12 days away, something like that, less than 2 weeks. And next week we'll be doing our Kucha special, where we talk about Kucha's traditions, which is the traditional Lithuanian Christmas dinner, which happens on Christmas Eve. Not on Christmas Day, but on Christmas Eve, where 12, traditionally anyway, 12 separate dishes are served, none of them with meat. So make sure you tune in next week if you're interested in that sort of a thing. Today, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, You know, if you're not doing anything, it's a beautiful day. Actually, after this rain, everything's sort of washed and cleansed off. It's a great day to go to the Los Angeles Knights of Lithuania Christmas party. And it's at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at the home of Regina Heller. It's at 3716 Paseo Primario Drive in Calabasas, California. Now, Calabasas, California is a good 40 minute haul, maybe 45 minutes from St. Casimir's Parish. But I'm going to give you a phone number, okay? So rather than try to figure this out here on the radio, here's the phone number of Regina Heller. And you'll be able to get directions and details. It's at 3 o'clock this afternoon, brought to you by the Los Angeles Knights of Lithuania. It's a traditional Lithuanian Christmas party, okay? Here's the phone number. You ready? 818-222-5244. That's 818-222-5244. I'll repeat that in a couple of minutes. But basically, you take the 134 West Freeway to the 101 North Freeway and exit at Parkway, Calabasas. There is a donation of $15 for dinner and drinks, but it's, eat, drink, and be merry. You'll have a great time. Or if you'd rather call Marita, you can call Marita and ask her about it at 818-321-1811. But once again, I'm going to give you the phone number of Regina because she always offers her home freely. And, literally 100 people show up and have a great time. 818-222-5244. Remember, $15 donation. The Knights have asked me to announce that they want you to join them to celebrate Christmas or Kalėdos with Lithuanian carols, straw ornaments, and traditional food. Bring your family and friends. If you know anyone who served in the armed forces or have a loved one whom you wish to could be with us, please bring their photo to share at our candle lighting ceremony. You may also bring coats, clothing, linens, toys, stuffed animals, and candy that will be sent to Lithuania via the generosity of the Daughters of Lithuania. Of course, cash donations are also welcome. Once again, that's at 3 o'clock this afternoon at the Regina Heller's home in Calabasas, California. Call 818-222-5244 for more information. By the way, there's a traditional Lithuanian very thin bread, and I don't know what it would be called in English, but they call it plotkalis, and it's sort of it's paper thin. It's like cardboard thin. A thin cardboard paper, but this special bread will be available at this Christmas meeting. Please note that Christmas Eve bread may be obtained only after Mass or at this event this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Once again, phone number 818-222-5244, as it will not be mailed out by the church this year. The church used to have a tradition of mailing it out to everybody in the community on the list, but that will not be done this year to save funds. We remind you that Lithuanian Christmas Eve Mass, Christmas Eve Mass, will be at 10 o'clock this year. It's a new tradition that's been begun. It starts earlier. And that way, by midnight, you're out and over. Used to be midnight Mass. Now it's 10 p.m. Mass. Okay, Father Thomas has changed the time of the Lithuanian Christmas Eve Mass from midnight to 10 p.m. at St. Casimir's at the corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Streets. And finally, one of my favorite events is watching the young children perform and sing and dance for you and me at the Caledo Egluta, the traditional Caledo Egluta, which will be Saturday, December 20th. That's next week, Saturday, December 20th, at the Upper Hall at St. Casimir's Parish Grounds. It starts at noon after classes. Everyone is welcome, and it's free. Remember, that's next week, Caledo Egluta. The students of St. Casimir's Saturday School will perform for you at the Caledo Egluta at 12 noon at the Upper Hall at St. Casimir's Parish. And everyone is welcome, and it's all free. On December 21st, Sunday, next day after that, the Daughters of Lithuania Kūčios Christmas Luncheon will be held at 12 noon at the Church Hall. St. Casimir's Choir will sing Lithuanian Christmas carols, and tickets must be purchased prior to the luncheon so they know how many people to prepare food for. Please call Marita, and again, you have your pen and pencil ready. Call Marita to order your tickets at 818-321-1811. That's Marita at 818-321-1811.
Šilta naktis, bet mėnulis šaltas, lipni šviesa, sminga į asfaltą. Apšviestas kambarys su grindim, ten gyvena Ernestas ir kvėpuoja mirtim. Dirba fermeriu ir apskritai šaunus jis vyras. Jis per dienas vairuoja traktorių, o naktimis pavirsta į vampyrą.
Well, here's some good news for Lithuania and Lithuania's economy. It's a headline from the Baltic Times. Lithuania is set to overtake Latvia as the Eurozone's fastest growing economy. Lithuania will surpass Latvia next year as the fastest growing Eurozone economy, according to Ernst & Young's annual Eurozone economic growth forecast, even though Latvia's economic growth is expected to grow faster than that this year. The Ernst & Young report states that while Latvia's economy will grow about 3.5% next year, Lithuania is expected to see growth of about 4.5%, which means that after several years of posting the highest growth in Europe, Latvia will no longer be the fastest growing economy. After a slowdown in growth to 2.8% this year, reflecting Eurozone and Russian trade restrictions and restraints, Latvia's GDP growth is forecast to pick up to 3.5% next year, and above 4% in the medium term. Export growth will drive initial recovery and stay strong throughout the forecast period, the report predicts. The report also claims that investment in Latvia will also increase more rapidly after 2016, boosted by low interest rates and increased opportunities for trade as the result of entry into the EU. Latvia's current account will move into surplus in 2015, lessening reliance on capital inflows, the Ernst & Young report emphasizes. the relaxed ECB monetary stance and an ongoing fiscal deficit will fuel faster inflation and wage growth in Latvia, ensuring that consumer demand can rise as well as household savings, the report goes on to say. According to the report, private consumption will increase by 3% next year, but in 2016 by almost 3.5%. At the same time, a 3.7% increase in exports is expected next year. But from 2016 to 2018, the increase in exports will exceed 4 to 5% each year. Overheating is a risk in 2016 through 2018, but should be avoidable if skill shortages are averted and productivity growth is maintained, according to Ernst & Young. The report goes on to say that Latvia's GDP will continue to steadily increase in the coming years by 3.4% in 2015, 3.4 to 3.5 anyway, and 3.9 in 2016, 4.4 in 17, and 4.5% in 2018. But in the meantime, Lithuania is set to overtake Latvia as Eurozone's fastest growing economy next year. There was an opinion piece read on Lithuanian radio. In Lithuania, that is. Okay, let's get that straight. Lithuanian radio, state-run radio in out of Vilnius. And I'm going to share it with you. It's called Reality Check for Russia. And it's by Vykintas Pugačiauskas. If there was anything surprising in Russian President Vladimir Putin's annual address to the Federal Assembly, it was that there was nothing new in it. It seems that slowly, very slowly, something is dawning on the Kremlin, a gloomy realization that Vladimir Putin is not their savior. One can only sympathize with the audience of over 1,000 at the Kremlin last Thursday. They all assembled acutely aware that hard times were approaching, but they did not hear anything that could provide any hope. The national leader, whose successes that gave standing ovations to everyone just months before, failed to present an idea of direction or a plan of action. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, Russia depends a lot on oil revenue, and oil has dropped 10% just this past week. Vladimir Putin did not mention the word oil in a single line. His foreign intelligence chief then blamed the slide of the ruble on the plot to depose Putin by who else? The United States of America. His economic advisor brushed aside the recession warning by the Minister of the Economy as a technical error. Drying up cash flows while the structure of the economy remains unreformed will sooner or later pit elite groups savagely against one another and eventually might incite unrest in society itself. Still, all Putin did to try to justify and defend his actions by simply repeating old arguments or inventing new ones that sounded ridiculously unconvincing. He kept denying reality. He also proposed measures that are clearly inadequate, but smack of desperation. Suddenly, Putin came across as weak and the country as drifting with no direction. One may argue that over the last year, Russia was living Putin's illusion, increasingly convinced in its third term that the West is out to oppress Russia and overthrow him. Putin stepped in to preempt this supposed conspiracy and prove he would not be pushed around. He seized upon the opportunity to implement the decade-old plan to capture back Crimea and create the mess in eastern Ukraine, and he achieved all that he could hope for. He has been successful throughout his 15 years in power, essentially because not only had the West no intention of deposing him, but just the opposite, preferring to turn a blind eye to Russia's misdeeds, and did all it could to get back to business as usual, not to provoke him and let Putin save face. Now, however, Putin can no longer rely on success. He needs a strategy, but all he can show is rhetoric. Dawning reality unveils the extent of Russia's blunder, but it is too late. The idea of standing up to the West assumed a life of its own, sparking off irrational and isolationist forces that are just as lethal to the regime itself. Strong and confident Russia, Putin tried to reassure the nation, will never enter the path of self-isolation, xenophobia, suspicion, and the search for enemies, as these are signs of weakness. Yet it is precisely the road that Russia has chosen. Cut off from international economies, building its foreign policy on grievance and domestic policy on compulsory mobilization, weak Russia arguably does not present less danger to the world. If anything, it is more dangerous than ever. It is this deadlock. Both sides have little space for maneuvering and little will for decisive steps. Putin can do little to change things unless he is to give up his recent victories. The West is equally unwilling to change much. Even the most ardent advocates of Russia now have to admit that Moscow has not deserved any concessions, while even harsh critics must concede that imposing more painful sanctions are unrealistic. It remains unclear what Putin wants and what grand deal he can find acceptable. Even Angela Merkel failed to find that out during 4 hours of one-on-one with the Russian president. Just a year ago, the West would have been gasping with horror at the things Putin said in this presidential address. Now, though, he evoked little reaction, not even cheers from the audience. Everything that could be said has been said over the last year, both in Russia and in the West. More importantly, almost everything has been done that could be done. Russia broke all the rules of international cohabitation and started a war in Europe. Meanwhile, the Western powers, though divided and inert, have responded with what they could by showing that economy can be a more punishing weapon than anyone thought it might be. Now all everyone can do is watch what is very likely to be a train wreck in slow motion in the former Soviet Union, Russia. This is Kęstutis Deividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio. Don't forget to visit Eurodelimart Lituanica, 28 blocks from the beach, at the corner of Santa Monica Boulevard in Yale, for a selection of all kinds of Christmas goodies, traditional Lithuanian Christmas goodies. Remember, that's Eurodelimart Lituanica, only 28 blocks from the beach. That's all you need to know. 28 blocks from the ocean on Santa Monica Boulevard, at the corner of Santa Monica Boulevard and Yale. And remember, they're open 7 days a week. Once again, Kęstutis Deividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here on KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. Tune in next week for our Christmas special.
Lūkiščių pieva, tėvynė mano, pasek man pasaka, pasaka be galo. Apie kvepinčią žolę, kurią išmyndė piemuo. Trys mirksniai prieš aušrą, kaip pražydo akmuo.